If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to part three of the Stompcast. Let's get straight back into it, shall we?
Are you okay? You've got,
are you doing some water, good.
Or something? We've got a bottle of water and stuff.
I'm hardy, don't worry.
Okay, sure. this weather is a pain.
This is the medical professional, like the good bedside medical.
Checking you're okay. Yeah. I'm really sure that, because we go through all sorts of different topics and some of it's really tough. So.
No, I'm good. Like I said, I'm an open book. I don't generally get really sensitive. I can see that. I did have a guy, it was for an article in it, and his manner was, this was the first time I was like, I'm not speaking to you anymore, like, we're done. He was like, so when did your dad die? And how old was he? What was his name? I was like, I'm not going to give you his name. And he was like, and what did your mum think? Like, okay, cool. Next question. I was like, are you okay? Are you all right?
Like, and sadly, you'll find a lot of them are like that. Actually, the older ones are very much like that because they're trying to find, where's your boundary? It's like lines in the sand. And you just go, I don't want to talk about that. And then they eventually start learning where their boundaries are within your conversation.
I kicked him into his boundary. I was like, forget you.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. But that's exactly why I said to you, I like people to explain their own stories.
Yeah.
I think it's a much better way
of doing it. It was like I was giving him a questionnaire on my life. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm just writing.
It's like an entitlement almost. There's this thing that when you go into the public eye, that everyone thinks because you've shared part of your life in the public eye, therefore they have a right to all of it, every part. That it's like inviting you into my house. You're sitting in the lounge, going, you're going to get up now and go through all my cupboards, go in the bedroom, go through all my books,
read really
all my
journals. That's a really good
analogy. But that's what it is. They assume that therefore, because you allow someone into your lounge, they have the right now to get up from your seat in the sofa and walk around your whole house.
I think it's all look for grubs.
Yeah, exactly.
What was your experience like, Alex?
What was my experience like?
Yeah.
For afterwards or in it? Coming out of it?
Yeah.
I think the first 6 months were the weirdest time, or the weirdest time of it. I think it was just like coming out of that and trying to like find yourself again, as cliche as that is, it was very difficult. You know, I came out of 200 followers before I went on. I came out with like a million followers, and like it was kind
That's crazy, especially
at that time on the series I was on. I think it was World Cup and that, and everyone was watching that, and then it was just. Yeah. The infatuation with it. So it was like a Pokemon card. It was like if they see you as a Love Island the first few weeks coming out, it was like, oh my god, like the photo with them. It was almost like it's the closest I've ever been to like rock star fame.
Yeah.
I would never compare the thing, but like that, and I would never want it actually. Yeah. It was enough to see I wouldn't want it, but it's the closest I'd ever get to that kind of level of it, and I just wouldn't want it. I don't think you want
it. I mean, mine is like a fraction. Mm. The Apprentice is a fraction of the Love Island.
No, I think it's bad. As having a focused platform is great, I think. And I've spent years harnessing and trying hopefully to convert everyone that was following me, but also everyone that's come in to hopefully care about the things that I think are important, like the mental health stuff.
But and it takes a long time. You're using it for that now. Yeah. You know, it's good that you have sort of found the direction you want to go. And like I said, everyone keeps pushing me into trying to be some business expert. And I keep saying, like, I'm not yet. I don't mind being the person who says, come along on the journey while I'm trying to figure it out.
That's the trick.
People
will feel that you are the authentic person if you are the authentic person. I think the biggest thing I've learned on social media is just to be, doesn't mean share everything, there's a big difference, but what you do share, just make sure it is a representation of you and what's going on. Like
I think it's all really difficult.
People love to be on a journey. Like if they follow you for the next decade, they're going to see you and all of the things that you learn in a decade. You're obviously going to learn things, obviously you know a lot now, but if you're sad thought not to think that you're going to develop, you will, right? And I think it's a beauty of taking people along the way. When I came, I was like, oh my God, I need to be this polished doctor that knows everything. And I very immediately, within weeks, was like, I just don't want to be that person, it's not true.
Yeah.
So people see the warts and all.
I find it really hard to like intentionally know what to post. Like, and the PR people are on me, you don't post enough, you need to do more. And look, I don't know what to do, leave me alone.
Yeah, it's a learning journey.
If I could press like a red button to demolish all of social media, I'd 100% do it.
Really? Shall we start?
Yeah, of course, I'm well,
technically, we almost started, I guess. I don't know. Right, let's do it.
Yeah, you can probably use some of that.
Drop anything we shouldn't put in, but I think all of it was mostly fine. well, on that note, I guess we have started. It is thunderous around us and it's still raining, but hey, we're under a bit of a bridge and you've got the umbrella covered, so we're all fine. Thank you so much for sharing so much so far. Let's have a think about a topic that I'm really interested in, and I think the world should be interested in, that I think is probably more poignant now than ever, is that, A, why do we not have more women in leadership positions? I'm thinking of like as in charge of nations, countries, and heads of big businesses. Is that changing? And why is it important? I mean, because to me, you know, I was talking with Emma on the way back from a Stompcast recording yesterday. We recorded one with Dr. Rongan Chatterjee, and we were talking about this. And I said, like, you know, you do wonder sometimes, would we have the wars that we've had if the egos and stuff of men wasn't coming into play? I mean, I'm watching this documentary on Netflix, which is very, very heavy, but very, very powerful. And it's all about World War II. And it's kind of World War II in colour, so real footage that's been lifted to colour, quality's been really polished, and there's VOs, so voiceovers and narration from people that were in the wars. And it just really, my key thing was like, what the hell was this all about? I mean, it was awful for obvious reasons, but there was so much ego and people wanting to be controlling the world and leading the world. I don't know the answer to the question, and I'm not expecting you to know the answer, but let's ponder it. Would we have these same problems if we had more women in these positions? If it was 50-50 truly, would we see so much conflict physically in the wars, but also in terms of conflict in the workplace and businesses as well?
No, I think we wouldn't have the same problems, but I do think we'd have different problems. I think,
interesting.
I think, you know, I am definitely not one to criticise men, and I think it's easy to, in my mission to empower lots of women, it's easy to say we should take over that space of men. But I think men bring a lot to the table. I think when you look innately at, even from like an evolutionary perspective, you know, the assets that men bring naturally, innately, that I suppose their testosterone would encourage them, you know, the idea of taking the lead, taking charge, being more ready to fight, having a more protector role, those things are important.
Risk-taking. There's a propensity towards risk that's inarguable,
yeah,
amongst men. So men and women don't deviate that much from each other, but there is a propensity towards risk that you have in men. Risk-taking behaviour.
Yeah, perhaps. I think those values that men innately bring, and I say men, there's lots of differentiation between personalities of men and women, so I hate to draw them all together, but from a biological perspective, I think there are things that men bring that do help to lead a country. Arguably, I think there are things that women bring that would be really beneficial to help lead in a country in terms of consideration and care and sometimes perhaps a more considered approach. And I know just being on the ground that there's a huge difference in the dynamic of my receptionists and my team there who I work with who are both women, and then my coaching team who are predominantly male, and my approach with them, my language with them, the way our dynamic is much vastly different to the one with the receptionist. Both of equal value, both bring different benefits, but it is different.
It's interesting, isn't it? And I mean, you know, we started Metal because we want to give men, you know, empower men that masculinity is good and that male roles are important and those kind of things. But I think it's important while doing that to acknowledge perhaps the balance is the thing that we do need. Because I think you're right. I mean, there's elements of, and again, what we're talking about is the averages here, right? Every woman has the ability to be way more or less aggressive than I am, for example. There's every characteristics you'll have, you know, when you look at the bell curve, you'll have people at the either ends and so on. But when you look at the average male and average woman, you will see subtle differences. I mean, you can look at that. I mean, if you look, the laws of this have obviously changed, but if you look at the number of car accidents of young boys versus young women, I mean, like some of that risk-taking behaviour is part of that. Biologically, we know that the male frontal lobe takes longer to finalise its development than women, and part of that risk controlling, that higher functioning, the executive functioning that comes with that frontal lobe means that often young boys, young teenagers are more risky in their behaviours. And so my interest, I guess, is that is the problem, therefore, that the truth is we need that balance? Because if you're going to have one energy, you need an opposing energy. It's like having, like, being in government. Like, the whole point of having a government in this country is you have two opposing parties, one that are in power, the other one's the opposing power. And it's the battle between, or the arguing of the ideas is supposed to bring you the best outcome. What if you only have one party? I guess that's my worry, I guess, a lot of the time, is why have we ended up with only one party in power all the time?
Absolutely. And actually, an article came out about me recently, and the headline was, Marnie thinks that there should be more women at the head table of British boxing, because currently it's all men in power. It's a, when you look at the climate of promoters, big boxing promoters, there's only male names. And I challenge people, I say, name me one woman in the business side of boxing. You know, the actual competing side is going on a huge upwards trajectory, but the actual business side, there's no one. And my argument is exactly as you just said there, Alex, is there's no balance, there's no sense of dialogue, there's no back and forth. And that, I think, having those conversations, that's what leads to a good outcome when all sides are considered. And it's reflective of everyone's dimensions. But I think, you know, I think my approach to this, to the topic of because it's a hot topic, being a woman in a man's world of boxing, everyone wants to know my feelings on it. And I think it surprises people, because I think people are expecting me to say that we should just prioritize women and we need more for women and for women. And I really want to protect men's role in society and at these things. And people say it doesn't need protecting, and it doesn't. But I think there's a big risk to damaging that masculinity. And, you know, I think it is important we protect it, especially social media. There's a lot of, men get a good kick in for a lot of different things. And I think it's important to recognize men's place too.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, the part of the reason, and again, I was talking to the clinical lead for Metal, Ian Jordan, this morning about this. We were talking about, it's a really interesting question. Journalists often ask, like, what do you think of Andrew Tate? And I say, the interesting thing isn't the question about Andrew Tate in terms of, like, him or how bad the things are around the toxic masculinity. It's the why. Why do people turn to that person? I think it's because we are damaging what we're damaging masculinity and what it means to be a man. And perhaps what we're doing is that we've put up this idea that being a man is always about being tough and not crying and no emotion. Yeah. When actually, I think being a man means many different things. But you have to have a feeling that you can identify as something. And you know, I know I started this out by saying, look at the egos, look at the wars that are happening. Would that happen if it was women there? And I think my point really is that, would it happen if you had a true balance in those positions?
Yeah.
Would you, if you had more leaders that were women, would you have more balance? And I guess the point is, when you look back to the analogy of, like, government should be one of everyone, surely. You should have a person that's from that's been man background, a person that's worked as a doctor, you want someone that's a nurse, you want someone that's, you know, worked in business, someone that understands business in there, you know, want someone that's old, that's young, that's from, you know, a white background, a black background, so that you capture a bit of everything. And it seems to me, anyway, to be the biggest problems is when we end up having just one type of person.
Yeah.
And arguably politics can be quite like that.
And I think what you said there about Andrew Tate is a good point, because I think now that word masculinity is immediately associated to toxic masculinity,
yeah, exactly.
Immediately associated to those kinds of really divisive, you know, they think they're powerful kind of figures. When to me, masculinity, I think back to the old gentleman, you know, the old sort of considered calm, quiet, but decisive, someone you can trust and rely on, an honest man. I don't know why Barack Obama comes to mind, like just that sort of more of a gentle approach rather than the loud stomp in the feet. That isn't what I picture when I think of masculinity. And I think masculinity is a beautiful thing. You know, men are beautiful. They have so many characteristics to offer. I don't want to get into a place of slating that. And I think men should be encouraged to embrace their masculinity alongside women embracing their femininity. I think the two things can go hand in hand. But I love it. I love this conversation.
It's important. I think it's the one that should be had. It's the conversation that should be had. I don't know all the answers. I think we should talk about it, though.
Yeah, I love walking into a boxing venue or even the boxing gym dressed in really delicate clothes and pretty. I love that imbalance and that, like, changing the dynamic and challenging it. Yeah, I think it's really interesting.
So how do we then think, with that in mind, then how do we elevate? Because I think the point, what I guess is what we're saying, is that we need to elevate women and women's roles and positions without necessarily dragging down men. Yes. It's like an elevation and equilibrium that we're searching for. How do we do that, for example, in boxing? What does that look like in boxing?
That's, in fact, Alex, you just hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what I'm trying to articulate, is that it doesn't have to, they're not mutually exclusive. It doesn't have to be empowering women means bringing down men. I think it's so important to preface these conversations with that. In terms of women having that seat at the table and being in those rooms, again, I think it has to come from within. I think people, since the start of time, have always had to create their own opportunities. And I don't think women should wait for the door. Ironically, speaking of gentlemen and chivalry, shouldn't wait for the door to be opened for them. They need to bang on that door, create spaces for themselves.
And advocate. And I think part of it has got to be as well, I mean, I've been saying this as a man, and I know that, but I think it's, you know, you can advocate for yourself, but I think also, I think men should also advocate for women as well, and vice versa. I mean, I talk about this a lot with men's mental health. Men's mental health isn't just for men. You know, you have men, you've got a partner, your husband, fiance, who's a man. You've got, you know, family that you care about that are men and friends. So therefore, men's mental health is your problem as well, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's why women should be involved in that conversation. Actually, talking of skills, women generally, on the average, have better communication skills when it comes to mental health. So should we not harness that, you know, within that conversation? So I think there is a bit, I think we all belong to each other, and I think part of the solution should actually be bringing everyone in on this and going, this is an issue we should address. How do we do it together?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and going back to my own personal experience, that idea of women being better communicators. I'll have a meeting with all the guys and they'll say about three words each. With the women, they'll be a lot more prepared to delve into that conversation, to have more dialogue, to justify things they've said and explore ideas. So of course they should absolutely, and I think women need to take a proactive role in encouraging men to feel like they can talk. You know, with that idea of, you know, the gentleman and masculinity, it goes hand in hand with this idea of strength and stiff upper lipness, which is already a problem in Britain anyway,
yeah,
having a stiff upper lip, but I think they need to be allowed that space. Without judgment as well.
So almost asking the questions that need to be asked, but not making that person feel too uncomfortable. As in, like, asking men, like, how are you? But doing it in a way that doesn't, like, pull away from masculinity. It's almost like encouraging that it can be masculine, or it is masculine, I'd change that. It is masculine to share and to talk about feelings.
Well, I think that's it. I think it's reframing the idea of speaking about things from being a moment of weakness where you need to lean on people to a moment of confidence, and I'm confident in telling you exactly how I feel about this. You know, I think that's one of the skills I have when I was saying about communicating, is being able to articulate, I'm really not happy with that, that's really upset me, I don't like that, I do really like that, and being able to decipher that, I actually think is a really powerful thing. So if men could perhaps change the perception of saying, I'm really unhappy about that, I really don't like that, that's making me sad, too. Do you know what? I want to articulate how I'm feeling. I want to get this off my chest. I think it would empower a lot of men to start talking from a place of getting it out their system rather than a place of leaning on people and needing people, and the sad weakness that's associated with that, even though it isn't. And I think another thing is creating environments that they can talk, that they feel safe in. Again, with boxing, you get a lot of people from troubled backgrounds, and if you put them in front of an office, in front of a desk, or took them to a talking centre, they would absolutely clam up. You wouldn't get a thing out of them. But in an environment where they're in the lockers, they're unwrapping their hands, they already have got rid of a lot of adrenaline from a session, there is so much opportunity there to start digging into them. And we've had some of the most honest, incredible conversations I've had have been at the end of sessions and just, you know, involuntary chatting. So I think that's the best place to get them.
It's amazing. I guess that hopefully that's good. That's a good encouragement for our early support hubs as well, because that's going to make a difference. Oh, there's a doggy coming.
Like,
there's a wolf approaching, and she's got the
my
coat
dog
to
looks
match
just
it.
Like that. That's why I'm.
What breed is that? Would you say? Is that
it's a Malamute.
He's just chilling. He's walking in the rain. He doesn't seem too bothered by it, does he?
No.
Well, on that note, we'll do our health fact of the week, and then we'll wrap up, shall we? So our health fact this week. So did you know that boxing can bring you a better night's sleep? You probably do. As you probably know, physical activity boosts endorphins in the brain, but when it comes to boxing, you'll also release tension through routines with a punch bag. Together, the endorphins and that tension release, or relief, I guess, from that activity that non-contact boxing brings, means you're more likely to achieve a greater level of sleep, a deep sleep. So what it boils down to is the more sleep you get, the better your energy levels are to exercise. And the more exercise you do, the better your sleep quality is. So it's a bit of a cycle, really, isn't it?
Exactly. I want you on the sales team now for Bronx after
there
that.
We go.
You need to be telling everybody
so
that.
So we can say to everyone, box for a good night's sleep.
Exactly.
But not because you've been knocked out, importantly.
No, I think that's so true. Just, again, that release, both mentally and physically, of draining yourself, getting rid of all that adrenaline, everything that's pissing you off in life, and just getting it out onto the bag, I think is the perfect remedy
Release
for a night's
sleep.
Sleep.
Well, it's been fantastic to have you on the podcast. So if people want to come down to Camberwell, the Bronx, are they welcome to come and box, give a go? What if they've never boxed before?
Absolutely, and that's also something that you mentioned there about it being non-contact, because I think there's a big myth that, in fact, I asked a group of young girls the other day, I said, what stops you from going into a boxing gym? And they said, we really don't want to have a fight. I promise you that if you walk into Bronx, you would never.
And you promise no one will make you do it?
No one would ever make you do it. All our sessions are non-contact. We have sessions that are contact. They're for every fitness level, every walk of life, every person.
Well, I'll come down. If you'll have me, I'll come down.
Even you, Alex.
I'd love to. I'll come down. I'm very competitive, though, so I'll be trying on the bag, trying to do the right technique.
We haven't met
you can teach me. You can teach me a lot, I'm certain of that. So, no, thank you so much. You've been so open. I've really, really enjoyed it. We've covered a lot, haven't we?
We've
covered a lot of ground. We've had to hide under a bridge for a moment because there was literally lightning and thunder rattling away, which I think will sound nice on the audio, won't it? Sophie's is looking a bit worried.
Like we've put the world to rights.
We've put the world to rights.
In an hour.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and to everyone that's joined us on these three episodes. Of course, head over to Behind the Stompcast on Apple Podcasts. You can do that on a free trial to have a listen of our kind of like digestion, if you like, of the topics, some more anecdotes. And we're going to find out from Sophie that she's done any boxing in the past. Will she come along and do some boxing? We'll find out. And also, I've learned something new today, what bangs are as well. So if you don't know what bangs are, you'll learn about that as well.
My bangs are different to the bangs you're talking.
Exactly, there we go. You'll find out that all the different kind of bangs are Behind the Stompcast this week. See you all very soon. Take care and goodbye.